How many of you enjoyed the music last Sunday? I just thought that was some of the best music we ever heard in this place. I enjoyed that music very much. That was really special. When I returned to the pulpit last Sunday to preach, I saw I had about 10 minutes. I thought, you know, that would hardly get me started. And she was here. And that's why I decided that she should just finish the service. And I'm glad I did. Just really appreciate her ministry. Beautiful voice, beautiful talent, a harp, just really easy to listen to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, time to share your word now. And I pray that I'll be able to share it in a precise and simple way, that we can all understand what it's saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lauren, is this the book that you guys were studying, James? Okay. I didn't realize when I chose James for worship service that they had already been involved in the study of James. Well, I'm going to take this little introduction in chapter 5. Since it's a good introduction for our study today. Only rarely does a local story make national news, but this one did. First time in history, a sitting governor of the state of Illinois was impeached, that's a word we hear a lot these days, by the state house and removed from office by the state senate. Local TV stations broadcasted gavel-to-gavel coverage. Weeks earlier, the governor had been arrested in the early morning hours after a long investigation by the state prosecutor. The state prosecutor produced tapes from which the governor purportedly was heard attempting to sell to the highest bidder a vacant U.S. Senate seat. While it could take years to prove or disprove charges, the indictment raised issues of wealth, how it was acquired, and how others were treated in its acquisition. It's really what we're going to talk about here. Ill-gotten wealth. Today, it's running rampant. How government offices of position get into these offices with 100,000 salary or more, and in a few years, they acquire millions of dollars. They're millionaires. How's the wealth acquired? You and I may never know, but I can tell you one that does. And someday they'll stand before him and they'll give an account of every dollar. How soon they forget that they have a judgment ahead. So that brings us to James chapter 5. Verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. What an indictment, a warning, that if you trust in riches, they'll bring you misery. These men were rich, and their riches were sinful because they were ill-gotten. Their wealth was for selfish purposes. And in so doing, they persecuted the poor in the process. A lot of poor people were affected. And it is likewise today. Many blue collars are affected by these decisions of the rich. If you could see, he's referring to the rich, if the rich could see their misery, and if they would be shown an account right now, they would scream if they could see it. Miseries come upon them from the very things in which they had placed their trust and their happiness in. Sad if that's where you put your trust and happiness in. These are the people who have accumulated and spend as though there's no God and no judge. I want to give you four kinds of groups. The first group are those who are poor without and poor within. When I say without, I'm talking about physical. There are those who are poor physically, and there are those that are poor spiritually. Then the second group are those who are rich physically and also rich within. Those are rare. They're rare, but we have a few. Does anybody name any in the scriptures? They were physically rich and they were spiritually rich. Who comes to mind immediately? Abraham. How about Lot? Wasn't he a rich man? And then there's the third group. Those who are poor physically, but rich within. I think that would take, we would belong, most of us here, to that group. We can identify with that group. We don't have a whole lot physically, but we do have a whole lot with Jesus. We're rich with him. That's the third group. And then the fourth group are those who are rich physically, but poor spiritually. Rich without, poor within. It takes us to verse 2. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. The Bible condemns wealth that's ill-gotten and ill-used. And you see, the rich were guilty of hoarding their riches. Hoarded riches reap miserable dividends. Corruption, decay, rust, ruin will come upon all your things. If you get wealth and you get it in a wrong way, what the scripture's saying is everything will come upon your things. It won't last long. It won't be long till they blow up or something happens to them. Something will happen to them. If you either stole it or you got it a wrong way, you won't have it very long. Something's going to happen to it. That's what the scripture says. You've gotten it in an ill way. You lied, cheated, and stealed. You lied about it just to get it. Look out. Trouble is coming your way. That's what it says. Three types of wealth. Produce of the ground, which is grain and corn. The wearing of apparel. Out of style, little value. And thirdly, gold and silver, in one way or another, will be taken. The ultimate uselessness of putting confidence in riches. I personally knew a man that came from very poor background. He was a self-made millionaire, and he died of cancer. He had bone cancer, and I many times had thought how much money he would have given if he could have just found a cure for it. He had enough money, he could have bought anything. And he did know Jesus. But money doesn't buy everything. It doesn't buy everything. Reminds me, remember the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, in this case, whoever has the gold makes the rules. Think about that. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. You know, we're becoming a borrowed nation. Our nation's in bad shape financially. We're in bad shape, really bad shape. And the sad part is a foreign power will eventually buy us out. And whoever holds the gold makes the rules. We become that because we forgot about God. And our nation will pay the price. We're already paying it. Foreigners are already coming in, buying businesses out from under us. And you'll see more and more of that happening. In America, many businesses are being bought out by foreigners. Eventually, foreigners will run the United States. Why? We've turned our backs on God. Verse 3. Your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. And this is what the riches will do. The riches will vanish. Nothing material in this world will last forever. Life is brief, and we cannot take wealth with us. How foolish it is to live for the things of this world. Let me read a passage in Luke, a very familiar passage that was one of my favorites when I was a teenager. I just thought this was a wonderful passage. And he spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, or neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Of which of you, with taking thought, could add to his stature one cubit? If ye then cannot be able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth you have need of these. Rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you of the kingdom. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure today? Misused riches erodes character. Covetousness will make a person break all the 9 commandments. Judgment is of a certainty. Their wealth decaying, their character eroding, and also the future judgment before God. Heaping up treasures that will prove at last to be only treasures of wrath. Rotten gain will bear witness of the selfishness of their hearts. Their hoarded riches will only testify against them. Uncontrolled appetites for worldly accumulations have carried them to the worst of extremes. Isn't that so true? Verse 4, are you still with me? How many of you are still with me? Amen. I've really enjoyed this study. Behold the hire of the laborer who have reaped down your fields. Which is of you kept back by fraud? Cries. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, wow. What's this about? This is about holding back wages. It's about getting rich on hired help, not giving your help what they should be given. Sometimes people get ill-gotten wealth and they forget how it came on the backs of the blue collars. They forget where it came from. Our nation has forgotten where it come from. Three accusations against the wicked. They've stored it up, it's bad to gain wealth in a sinful way. But to use that wealth in a sinful way makes the sin even greater. Instead of using their wealth for God's glory, they kept it from others, from others that could have benefited from it. They lived in luxury, in high style. The Bible condemns this because it's the acquiring of wealth by illegal means or illegal purposes. The rich were cheating those that were deserving of wages. They were holding back their money. Riches provide no relief in eternity. How true is that? Riches will provide no relief in eternity. Verse 5. You've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter, fattening yourself like cattle. The rich were living a selfish lifestyle. Extreme wrath comes from the wealthy and the rich. And the unjust, they act to those that are not saved, are not easily forgotten. The terrible things that the rich people do to the poor people. And this is the part that God hates, when the rich take advantage of poor people. And that happens a lot in America, where the poor people are taken advantage of. I think even to this day and to this hour, this is happening in many places. Excess killing of the animals to prepare for a great feast, but they were ignorant of their own judgment. Involved perjury. I want to read a portion that's taken from the book of Deuteronomy in regards to perjury. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, 16 through 21. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges which shall be in those days, the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if a witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Then the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 33 and 15 has to do with bribery. You think there's any bribery going on today? I already told you about the bribery in our government. Why do you suppose so many politicians want these positions? Do you think it's for that lousy salary of $200,000? Power, control, but money, lots of money. We're not talking thousands. We're talking millions. The prophet Isaiah had something to say about this. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about bribery. We'll just take one scripture for now. Isaiah 33:15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Lots of bribery going on, and it's happening among both parties. It's sad. It would shake you up to the point that you wouldn't sleep if you knew how much bribery was going on in our government every day. Every day. Every day. Contracts.
I can't get my mind around how a little drone can cost $130 million. I can't get my mind around that. We probably should find somebody that can make it cheaper. Bribery. It all has to do with bribery. Lots and lots of money. So much covetousness today. Can you imagine how God feels about all this? Fixed cases. Fixed cases. I got one more scripture here and we'll soon be finished. This scripture comes from the book of Amos, an Old Testament prophet. Amos chapter 5, 12 through 15. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time. For it is an evil time. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Back to James 5. Where are we at? Verse 6. Ye have condemned and you have killed the just, and he doth not resist you. The rich were taking advantage of the righteous. There was a lack of judgment in those days and a lack of judgment today. When we get wealth, or maybe we may have the opportunity to have whatever God sees fit that we should have, may we use it well for God's glory. And the substance that we will refer to as wealth or manna, whatever substance that God sees fit to give us, be it little or much, may we use it for his glory. God will not judge our sins because he's already judged them on the cross. But what he will judge is our works and our ministry. That will be judged. Whether it be wood, hay, or stubble, or stones, precious stones. You see, that has to do with our rewards. Our work has to do with our rewards. Were we faithful, or were we unfaithful? What we give to God, we keep. And you know what? He adds interest to it. What we give to God, we keep, and he adds interest. Instead of giving up when troubles come, we need to turn to God in prayer, and we need to seek his divine help and his divine guidance in our lives, because he is more than willing to help us. All right, I think we'll just stop right there. I'll put a mark there. Verse 7, we'll pick up next Sunday. Lord be willing, we'll pick up on verse 7. Has to do with steadfastness and being patient. I ought to keep attention to that because I sure need patience. I don't have enough of it. I don't have enough patience.